welcome to the evening news program, The Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly.
This program will be heard on Wednesday, December 20th at WWCR.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and also on shortwave. The frequency is 5.935 megahertz. That's also at 7 p.m. We're continuing our vital warnings of the late December news blitz. Here, our very vital program for December 6th that you might have missed, just go to our website, Divided Kingdom Radio, and visit our listening archives for December 6th. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. December 7th, at a continuation of more crucial noise. News, not noise, although some of it may be noise, too.
That's right, Lou.
We begin with a follow-up to our report of last month about Japanese preparations to release the treated but not completely eliminated water-containing tritium into the ocean from Fukushima. And this is a very big deal. Here we have the headline, thousands of tons of dead fish wash ashore in Japan 3 months after the nation released treated Fukushima radioactive water into the sea. This came from the dailymail.com, or .co to be exact, .uk, December 8th by David Avera. Thousands of tons of dead fish have washed up on a beach in northern Japan, prompting speculation that the release of treated radioactive water from the Fukushima nuclear plant has wrought havoc on local ecosystems. The sardines and some mackerel washed ashore in Hakodate on Japan's northernmost main island of Hokkaido on Thursday morning, creating an unsettling silver blanket that covered almost a mile of shoreline. An official announcement was devoid of any explanation for the phenomenon. Takashi Fujioka, a Hokkaido Fisheries Research Institute researcher, posited a number of theories as to why the fish could have died en masse. He said that they may have become exhausted due to lack of oxygen while moving in a densely packed school in shallow waters. Or they may have suddenly entered cold waters during their migration and succumbed to a shock. There have been several recorded cases of similar phenomena springing up on several parts of Japan's coastline. But this particular phenomenon occurred just 3 months after Japanese authorities began releasing treated radioactive water back into the sea, a move which angered its neighbors, including China and South Korea. And I'll interject, as we mentioned in that earlier reading maybe a couple weeks ago, they said that they could get rid of most of the radioactivity in this water they're releasing, except radioactive tritium. Now, tritium is an isotope of hydrogen, and it's almost impossible to separate it when it's combined with oxygen to make water. It's very difficult because they are all hydrogen and oxygen, H2O, and to separate the tritium from the more ordinary isotopes is practically impossible. Now, getting back to the article, China has since banned Japanese seafood and criticized the country as being, quote, extremely selfish and irresponsible, unquote, with the Chinese Communist Party's flagship newspaper, the Global Times, writing it could open, quote, Pandora's box, unquote. Excuse me. And trigger fears of a real-life Godzilla. South Korean protesters also attempted to enter the Japanese embassy in Seoul, carrying banners which read, quote, the sea is not Japan's trash bin.
So important. And we know that a lot of you listeners are tuning in to us, to hear us, and going to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go there and hear our archives. We had some other important programs in December particularly. So again, go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. And you can also hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. You can hear us on KSTAR Talk Radio, KingdomStarRadio.com. You can hear us on KingdomStarRadio.com. And you, of course, can hear us on Global Star. And we're doing this program live here on a Tuesday evening, and I believe it's the 19th, isn't it, Lou?
Yes, I think you're right. I've lost track of the dates.
Yes, and then it will be broadcasting tomorrow night on the 5.935 megahertz. Now, we're moving right on.
Let me interrupt, Elizabeth. Yes. I have one that I think I should have gone on directly to that pertains to what we've been talking about.
Oh, yes, pick it up.
Here's another article, assessing more reasons for our disappearing fish food supply. The headline says a quarter of the world's freshwater fish at risk of extinction, according to assessment. This was from TheGuardian.org by Patrick Greenfield, Monday, the 11th of December of this year. Nearly a quarter of the world's freshwater fish are at risk of extinction due to global heating, overfishing, and pollution, according to an expert assessment. From the large-toothed Lake Turkana robber in Kenya to the Mekong giant catfish in Southeast Asia, many of the world's freshwater fish are at risk of disappearing. The first International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN, Red List assessment of the category has found. Nearly a fifth of all threatened freshwater species are affected by climate change, from impacts such as falling water levels, shifting seasons, and seawater moving up rivers. Of the assessed species, 3,086 out of 14,898 were at risk. The latest assessment also found the mahogany, Atlantic salmon, and green turtles were increasingly threatened, according to scientific assessments. But there was good news about the sega antelope, which has moved up from the critically endangered category to the near-threatened category after the population increased by 1,100% in just 7 years, mainly in Kazakhstan.
And, you know, this is the standard line. This is the climate change cause. But you had some very excellent reports from Dane Wigington, and he has found the ozone disappearing. He has found a lot of the plankton is under terrible stress. So, you know, you want to go back. I think that you wrote this in 2022, I think. You had Earth. Things about the earth seed, something like that. So if you go to our website and you go to breaking news, you probably can scroll down and find that article yet. So we're not really gung-ho so much about the climate change and the heating idea when thousands of scientists have said it's not happening. So now we move back to that specter of Big Pharma and the COVID vax holocaust. Infowars.com picked this up from Press for Truth, Dan Dix, December 9th. New vaccine mandates. Brazil is force vaccinating babies. Global genocide continues. And this, again, was December 9th. And before I read that, I pointed out, I think, on the last program that we were watching a few Christmas movies on Up. And, you know, we still had to mute the thing because of all the pharmaceuticals in the commercials. It was just so depressing. So we had to mute the commercials. But, you know, when we saw one of the commercials, it was horrifying. And they were giving the RSV vaccine to the mother who's holding the baby. So, you know, these companies had better form a conscience. That's what we say. So now what's happening in Brazil? Brazil's mandatory vaccinations for children, as socialist criminal president Lula da Silva demands people inject their kids or lose welfare. Josh Sigurdsson reports, the president is quite literally telling the population that they will starve if they do not inject themselves with poison, as he further destroys the economy and creates what one may call a Hegelian dialectic of sorts. And then we move right on with this same topic. It is not over. COVID is not over. And this was December 6th at the People's Voice, and it was the headline, fully jabbed Montreal mayor Valerie Plante collapses mid-speech. The world's media captured the moment on Tuesday when the mayor of Montreal, Canada, Valerie Plante, suddenly collapsed halfway through a press conference. then we have more of these celebrities. And this is December 10th. And again, this is the People's Voice. Vaccinated Piers Morgan reveals he has VADS, blames non-vaxxed. And, of course, VADS, this is now being trumpeted as the breakdown of one's immune system. We know that it's not the same as AIDS. You know, it's not like that, but probably it's the spike proteins have you know, in our bodies that have done this. At any rate, this is what it says. UK talk show host Piers Morgan has developed vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, VADS, as a result of repeated mRNA shots and boosters. And this was December 15th, we said, at the People's Voice. 30-year-old Brazilian pop star. Now, here's another one, December 15th. The first one we had was December 10th. So a little follow-up that Lou found right after this. 30-year-old Brazilian pop star suffers heart attack and then suddenly dies suddenly during the live performance. Brazilian gospel singer Pedro Henrique suffered a massive heart attack while performing on stage on Sunday before collapsing and dying suddenly. The 30-year-old was performing his popular song, and I can't pronounce it, but it's something like Ve Sir Tal Lindo, at a religious event when he suddenly collapsed in front of his band. And the band was inside a kind of a concert venue in the northeastern city, Feira de Santana. In the wake of Henrique's death, social media users criticized Sao Paulo Governor Doria, who declared that vaccination would be mandatory in his state in October 2020. Footage of the incident showed Henrique engaging the crowd as he stood on the edge of the stage before he lost his balance and fell on his back. And then we have another one. This is just bombshell news, one after another. And COVID is not gone. People can die like a time bomb up through the year 2025 and probably beyond. UK Telegraph bombshell, millions of vaccinated people now have VADS. This was the People's Voice, December 7th. Millions of people injected with mRNA COVID jabs have gone on to develop vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, according to a bombshell, a new report. And I think we have some more here. We have, let's see, I think now we go to Lou.
I believe you're right. Yes. Here's more damning information from the UK, newsaddicts.com. Hunter Feeling was the author, December 11th. The headline, 1 million vaccinated Brits died suddenly in the past year, government admits. New data published by the UK government has revealed that 1 million COVID mRNA vaccinated citizens have died suddenly in the past year. Over the past 2 years, excess deaths in England have soared. Officials, that should be official data, shows the spike in sudden deaths is almost exclusively among those, quote, fully vaccinated, unquote, for COVID-19. New government data shows that 1 million fully jabbed people in England have died since the beginning of 2022. Then we have Russia warns U.S. military creating new deadly mega pandemic in Ukraine lab. That word mega pandemic is in quotation marks. This was from the peoplesvoice.tv, December 12th, 2023.
We can't highlight this enough, these warnings. Bill Gates, of course, was doing preparatory drills again, and he said there's something coming for that will kill children in 2025, maybe 2024, maybe moved up to the election year. So we must stay awake. Go ahead with more details, Lou.
Yes, Russia has released evidence that the U.S. military is secretly working on creating a deadly new pandemic in Ukraine, biolabs, which will be unleashed onto the public within the next year. The following evidence was released by the Russian chief of nuclear, chemical, and biological protection of troops of the armed forces of the Russian Federation, Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov. Kirillov issued a bone-chilling statement on Monday about Russia's findings while researching the U.S.-controlled biolabs that have come under its control during the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Russian specialists gained access to a number of Ukrainian biological facilities, especially laboratories in the cities of, and I apologize for my pronouncing these, but Rubeznoy, Severodonetsk, Kherson, and their official documentation within the special military operation. Analysis of this documentation confirmed the dangerous nature of the Pentagon's experiments to assess the Ukrainian population susceptibility to zoonotic infections. The facts of testing pharmaceuticals on the local population and exporting biological samples to the United States for their possible use in offensive biological programs. Then we have this headline. Russia threatens military strikes on Western countries if Ukraine's newly donated F-16s are based in NATO territory. This is by Will Stewart, dailymail.co.uk. Russia has threatened to target Western countries with missile strikes if Ukraine's newly donated F-16 fighters are based in NATO territory. Such an act by Vladimir Putin would also certainly trigger a World War III scenario between the West and Russia. It comes as the Kremlin warned today that a nuclear world war is closer than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Maria Zakharova, spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry, warned the West that the advanced F-16 fighters delivered to Ukraine will be a fair target for Russia if they are based in NATO countries. She said that the fourth-generation fighter jets could be based in Poland, Slovakia, and Romania, meaning NATO is, quote, getting deeper, unquote, into the Ukrainian conflict. There have been many questions asked about the transfer of F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine, said Zakharov, age 47. She continued saying, I would like to say that NATO member states continue, as you understand, to intensively arm Ukraine, and the supply of tactical fighters is next. And now, Elizabeth, I think we go over to you.
And now we have the People's Voice, December 7th, Baxter Dimitri. UN Human Rights Report demands U.S. change constitution, limit free speech, and ban guns. The United Nations has issued a scathing report on the state of human rights in the United States, demanding America crack down on free speech, change the Constitution, allow more abortion, and confiscate guns. And then we have a headline here that something is at work right here. It's not outside the country with the UN. It is, again, this is the People's Voice, December 11th. Note, that's the Judgment Day, 11. House passes resolution making anti-Zionism a hate crime in America. And, you know, more ominously, right here, in our own Congress, that kind of murky catch-all term, Zionism, takes front stage. But do you really think, listeners, that this resolution will stop with this term? No. This is a beginning to reinstitute the persecution against Christians. We saw some of it in the Obama years, and I think it will be stepped up. No, Bible believers are the next target. And then we have, again, the real Jewish Illuminati members. We recall that the Rothschild family is called the treasurer of the Vatican. Isn't that interesting? So we have the Jesuits all linked up with the other globalists, like Pope Francis. And so, again, we have a picture here of the Rothschilds meeting, conferring with climate change head, world head, King Charles. And the headline reads, Rothschild says WEF, and that's the World Economic Forum, will soon control what users purchase in new cashless society. the head of the Rothschild banking dynasty, has ordered world governments to accelerate the implementation of cashless societies and has boasted that WEF-controlled artificial intelligence, AI, will soon dictate what the public can and can't do with their own money. We had a good listener with a great letter that just arrived here today, and he said, surely when the states realize what this is going to do, because we reported earlier that some leading economists said this will be the end of any freedom if we go to the CBDCs, the central bank digital currency. So we do hope and pray that the states are ready to do their part and man the battle. And so then we have another horrifying thing here. And this, again, is the People's Voice, December 7th, Baxter Dimitri. Canada euthanizing thousands of citizens with low credit scores every week. Media blackout. Canada has been completely infiltrated by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, and the policies of the Trudeau regime are now reflecting the full horror of the Davos globalist agenda. Trudeau has passionately endorsed state euthanasia, signing laws that vastly expand the reach of the central government when it comes to killing its own citizens and reducing the population. You know, I've been reading a book called Nazi Wives, and it was published by St. Martin's Press, and it's a pretty horrifying book to see the immorality and the hideous kinds of things that went on even within the sphere of the wives of people like Bormann and Goebbels, all of these things. It's really horrific. But, you know, in this book, it was very interesting when it talked about the T4 euthanasia plan, that Hitler began it with children. But, you know, we're here. We're never picking out one group. We're not saying the Jesuits are all bad. We're not saying the Illuminati is running everything. It's a conglomerate of evil people, and we want to give credit to the Catholic Church, because this book states that after Hitler began to round up these children, the T4, and we know that Anita Dittmann, the Holocaust survivor on our program, said that the ordinary German matrons who had Down syndrome children, they made sure they were not out on the street or they could be picked up by the vans and taken in. Then after a while, in a couple of weeks, there would be a note that they were enjoying camp, but they got a little flu or a little cold, and they passed away. But guess who got it stopped for a while? Why, the Catholic Church protested the T4 program. And that would have been with the children. Now, it didn't last. It came back, as these evil specters always do. But we know that, again, we have to judge people as individuals. And as we said about Eleanor Roosevelt, that was her kind of her mantra, that you look at people and you see whether they're good people and whether they're doing things. And at this time, we do like LifeSite News, and it's primarily Roman Catholic. Now, Lou and I do not believe in the theology of Mary being a co-redemptrix. That is not biblical. Only Jesus Christ is our Savior, no one else. But at the same point, LifeSite News is bringing out a great deal of protest against things that are so evil, considering that they brought out Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano's stance against the aborted fetal-derived COVID shots. And we didn't hear many Protestant ministers at all doing that. So, you know, we really have to look at everything. Lou and I are not fanatics, and we are going to tell it as we see it. So now, Lou, I think you're next.
Now we have a large number of sites hit by Hezbollah strikes. This was from en.ypagency.net, which I think is Yemen Press Agency, dated December 7th. Beirut. The Islamic resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, launched on Thursday about 10 attacks on a large number of sites belonging to the Israeli occupation forces along the border strip. Now, I'd interject here. You can see that these are loaded words, so we'll take this with a grain of salt. Hezbollah issued the following statement. In support of our steadfast Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, and in support of their brave and honorable resistance, the fighters of the Islamic Resistance targeted at 7 a.m. on Thursday, July 12, 2023, the MARJ, MARJ site, and the HARJ, Ramin, R-A-M-I-N, and it has in parentheses, the occupied Lebanese village of Hunin, with appropriate weapons and achieved direct hits. So that would have been this past July they're talking about. Now we have major escalation coming. Israel-Hamas conflict. Right-wing Israelis to march to the Temple Mount. This was by Hal Turner, December 7th of this year. Two Israeli right-wing ultra-nationalist organizations, together with numerous so-called Temple Mount activist groups, are set to hold a march through the Muslim quarter of the Old City of Jerusalem Thursday night to call for the reestablishment of, quote, Jewish control, unquote, over the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. The event, coinciding with the beginning of the Hanukkah festival, entitled March of the Maccabees, will proceed through the Damascus Gate and into the Muslim quarter. It will then pass by the offices of the Jordanian WAQF, I guess it's pronounced, W-A-Q-F, which runs the Al-Aqsa compound, and will finish by the ramp to the Mughrabi Gate. And I think we go, do we go to you, Elizabeth, now?
I think you have some more things there under E, don't you?
I have a D2.
Mm-hmm, you go ahead with that.
All right. Okay, this one was by David Chase Taylor. November 25th, 2023, State of the Union, no, I take that back, stateofthenation.co. Birth, undisclosed location. Located in Central Europe, Switzerland is home to the one and only Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. Now, let me interject. That struck me as profoundly strange. But let me read on, and you can see what you think of this. The CIA, known locally in Switzerland as the Federal Intelligence Service, FIS, operates under the alias Holy See, S-E-E. And it has in parentheses, that is, the Holy capital letter C, which was evidently founded 40 years after Confederations Helvetica, that is Switzerland, circa 755 years ago. By employing deductive reasoning, it can be deduced that Switzerland is, in fact, home to the CIA. The first step in this process is to follow the money, which leads directly to the Bank for International Settlements, BIS, in Basel, Switzerland, an organization which secretly funds the CIA's nefarious activities. Switzerland is unique from every other country on Earth, something expected from the nation which harbors the CIA. Because Switzerland is ultimately responsible for engineering the incessant assassination, terror attacks, and wars around the globe, it's naturally free of such mayhem. In other words, Switzerland is the eye of the global storm, free of financial crises, free of state-sponsored terrorism, free of war for over 500 years.
And Lou, you know, we talked about economist Greyers, G-R-E-Y-E-R-Z,
yeah.
And he talked about this, that Switzerland had not lost its money value like the U.S. had. Isn't that interesting? Somebody or something is propping it up, and I think it's pretty evident there if it's called the Holy See.
Yeah.
Its connections.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Goes on to say, after all, terrorists and the CIA need a sanctuary, a place of peace and safety where they can return to, or where they can return to, after exerting and executing black operations around the world. Said terrorists also need a place where they can avoid prosecution. Hence, Switzerland's permanently neutral position within the international community. This is why the bankers, pirates, and terrorists, formerly known as Knights Templar and the Order of St. John, originally fled to the Alps, founding what is known today as Switzerland. Because the CIA is in command and control of each country's respective intelligence agencies and military, they are responsible for orchestrating virtually all of the assassinations, terror attacks, and wars. This is where the concept of the Swiss Army knife originally came from, for Switzerland has every political and military option at their respective disposal. Although Switzerland is noted for its Swiss mercenaries, who were strategically placed by the CIA and foreign armies, courts, and governments in order to conduct assassinations and espionage, 99% of Swiss citizens have absolutely no idea that that country is, in fact, home to the CIA. And now, Elizabeth, do we go to you?
I think you have some more.
I have something here about Ireland's new hate speech, online hate speech bill. And the headline reads, this is from InfoWars, November 27th, Ireland's new online hate speech bill proposal will be, quote, restricting freedom for the common good, unquote, according to Irish Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly. The criminal justice, and it has in parentheses, incitement to violence or hatred and hate offenses, close the parentheses, Bill 2022 was introduced in the wake of widespread protests against a migrant stabbing spree on children in Dublin last week. And here's a quote, if you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom, unquote. Ms. O'Reilly explained at the Sinead Éireann, the upper house of Ireland's parliament, on Monday.
Okay, and I believe then I have the USBS bank branch in Basel, Switzerland, denying withdrawals, liquidity challenges. And this is still another indication the Greyers warning is to be taken seriously. A branch of UBS Bank located at Tellplatz 12, Basel, Switzerland, gave a written notice to a depositor today explaining why they cannot give him his withdrawal. Liquidity challenge. And, of course, this date was at the end of November. Yes, you read that right. The largest bank in Switzerland told a depositor in writing they cannot give him his withdrawal due to unforeseen liquidity challenges. Okay. And so I think that then you go back to some more with F, I think.
Yes. And here we have power grid operator warns of total blackout due to imminent shutdown of coal plant. This was from dailyfetched.com and dated November 25th, 2023, by Jason Walsh. The power grid operator in the Mid-Atlantic is warned that the planned shutdown of a coal-fired power plant could affect the electrical supply to millions of Americans, causing a total blackout. PJM Interconnection, the company that manages wholesale electricity for 65 million Americans in 13 states, said they expect the shutdown of the Brandon Shores coal power plant to disrupt the power. And then we have doctors warn millions of patients experiencing, quote, lifetime of bone loss, unquote, 1 year after jab. This is on the People's Voice.tv, November 27th. Of 2023. Millions of people around the world are suffering from a lifetime of bone loss just 1 year after receiving their COVID vaccinations, according to multiple whistleblower doctors. And then also from the peoplesvoice.tv, retired neurosurgeon reveals a link between COVID jabs, brain damage, and cancer risks. Again, that was from the People's Voice, November 24th. Dr. Russell Blaylock, a retired American neurosurgeon, recently gave an in-depth presentation on the adverse effects that spike proteins induced by the COVID-19 vaccinations have on the human body. And we have bombshell report. Moderna ran secret operation to silence vaccine critics. This, too, was from the People's Voice.tv, dated November 25th, 2023. Big pharma giant Moderna secretly ran a widespread operation that sought to shut down people who criticized their dangerous mRNA jabs. And now, I think I have a little bit more here. Let's see what we have. This was, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I think you have something about myocarditis again.
I have, let me see now. I have about a new movie. And this was from InfoWars, by way of naturalnews.com, November 27th of this year. A new movie about young people who died after getting so-called vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus has been released, revealing the ugly truth about Operation Warp Speed that the pharmaceutical industry does not want people to know. The film brings to light and pays homage to the many untold stories of young Americans whose lives were tragically cut short as a result of COVID shots, which were unleashed by the Trump regime in late 2020 through Operation Warp Speed. These shots were promoted by both Democrats and Republicans alike as, quote, safe and effective, unquote, for preventing serious infection with COVID. But there is zero evidence to back these claims, and plenty of evidence to the contrary. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, emergency use authorized the injections early on, then later approved some of them. As a result, millions of people are now dead or suffering from side effects like myocarditis. Shot Dead, that's the name of the movie, Shot Dead, focuses mainly on families who refrained from coming forward until now to tell their stories. Perhaps due to fear or embarrassment, many of them chose to lie low, but are now speaking out on behalf of their children and others like them who suffered and died in vain.
Yes, and now, Lou, the People's Voice, November 17th, had this headline, warning, schizophrenia and suicide have exploded since mRNA jabs were rolled out. The number of people suffering from serious psychiatric problems, including schizophrenia and suicide ideation, has exploded since the jab rollout, according to disturbing new data released by the CDC. And did you tell us everything about the movie that you had?
I did, yes.
And then I believe then I move on. Do you have anything else there under F? I don't think so.
No, I believe that's
okay,
everything.
Then I move on to LifeSite News. And, you know, children are in the crosshairs always. We talked about the T4 plan that Hitler had. They began with the children. And we discussed the Israeli New World Order, whether they're Ashkenazi Jews, whether they're in with the Jesuits, with Biden and Fauci. There's a really unsavory mix there in the political state of Israel to have had this 8-year-old poster child for COVID vaccination who dropped dead. And I guess there was a similar case of a young boy in Argentina, too, who was a poster boy and dropped dead. So here with LifeSite News, November 20th, we have Jean or Jean Mondero. Shot Dead movie tells heartbreaking stories of youth who died after COVID vaccination. Parents who lost their children reveal the untold story of lives lost too young as a result of the shots. And again, this was November 20th, LifeSite News. A new movie detailing the tragic stories of young Americans who died after receiving the experimental COVID-19 shots was released earlier this month on the anniversary of the death of an 18-year-old whose story is featured in the film. Shot Dead premiered November 9th in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the home of a young woman named Trista, who died on November 9th, 2022, just months after receiving a shot to, quote, protect her against COVID-19 infection. Quote, this is the movie we wish we didn't have to make, the film's official website reads, quote, but this is a movie everyone needs to see. For the first time ever, hear the stories of COVID shot deaths as told by the parents who lost their children, end of quote. The movie seeks to share untold stories of young Americans who had their lives tragically cut short after taking any of the COVID shots, which were promoted by the U.S. government as, quote, safe and, quote, effective. On the contrary, evidence has shown that those who take the experimental treatments, which were granted emergency approval by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, at a wildly accelerated speed, compared with typical vaccine development protocols, have greater risk of myocarditis, vision problems, miscarriages, and stillbirths, as well as various disabilities like paralysis. And there's more. The movie interviews the parents of three young Americans who died as a result of the COVID shots, Alan and Taylor Martin. 18-year-old Trista's parents were interviewed, along with Ernest Ramirez, father of 17-year-old Ernesto Ramirez, Jr. The third victim, a newborn baby named Naomi, who died 11 hours after birth due to lack of lung development, was represented by her mother, Victoria. Her grandparents, Jeff and Rhonda White, are also featured in the film, as well as her toddler sister, Piper. Both Trista and Ernesto received the shots themselves, while Naomi suffered the adverse effects of the one her mother received during her first trimester. In addition to the victims' families, the film also interviews several medical professionals who provide greater context regarding the link between the shots and the sudden deaths of the children. Registered nurse working in postpartum, Michelle Gershman, cardiologist, Dr. Peter McCullough, and certified obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. James Thorpe, are featured in the movie. They are interviewed about their experience in the medical field and share their expert opinion on the role of COVID shots in the deaths of young Americans. Shot Dead is a project of the nonprofit organization We the Patriots USA that, according to its mission statement, exists to, quote, preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights, including but not limited to the rights recorded in the United States Constitution through education, advocacy, and litigation. And again, that organization was We the Patriots USA. And now we'll see if we have a little bit more here. I think that we have just a little bit more. Priority issues for the nonprofit include religious, education, and medical freedom, parental rights, and First Amendment rights. More information about the work of We the Patriots USA can be found on its website. The full movie of Shot Dead can be seen here. Okay, Lou?
All right. Now we have from the Gateway Pundit. This was a comment with an associated video. Former Reading Rainbow host makes nasty remarks suggesting physical violence against conservative moms group during Book Award ceremony. This was by Colin Leinbarger, again from the Gateway Pundit, November 17th, 2023. Former Reading Rainbow host and leftist actor LeVar Burton has found himself in hot water over a sick remark he made this week suggesting physical violence against one of the most prominent moms groups in America. As Fox News reported, Burton was hosting the National Book Awards ceremony Wednesday night when, out of the blue, he decided to trash-talk Moms for Liberty. This conservative organization has angered the liberal political establishment for trying to protect children from being exposed to X-rated books, especially ones with explicit sexual material. They have also been successful in school board elections, though this past cycle was less fruitful. Still, the left recognizes how potent a threat Moms for Liberty poses to their sinister agenda and has targeted them for destruction. During his opening remarks, Burton inquired as to whether there were any members of Moms for Liberty in the audience. After receiving no answer, he then strongly suggested he would have fought the mothers had they been at the event. And he said, "Are there any Moms for Liberty in the house?" "No." "Good. Then hands will not need to be thrown tonight." The audience cheers after he makes his disgusting statement. So LeVar Burton threatened physical violence against Moms for Liberty at that National Book Awards ceremony. Moms for Liberty angrily responded to Burton and accused him of, quote, threatening physical violence against women. Burton has had a beef with Moms for Liberty for some time. Fox News notes that in an October press release for the American Library Association's Banned Books Week, Burton slammed efforts to remove books from libraries. American Moms Weep is a childhood favorite. Reading Rainbow calls for physical violence against us because we are protecting the innocence of our children. And LeVar Burton has spoke these words. Books bring us together. They teach us about the world and each other. The ability to read and access books is a fundamental right and a necessity for lifelong success. But books are under attack. They are being removed from libraries and schools. Shelves have been emptied because of a small number of people and their misguided efforts towards censorship. Public advocacy campaigns like Ban Books Week are essential to helping people understand the scope of book censorship and what they can do to fight it. Now, this is Lou speaking. I refer you to our radio show of November 15th or 16th, which included my reporting on the American Library Association's book list, LGBTQ and Occult Satanic Disgusting Book Recommendations for Children as Young as Kindergarten. Be sure to check out our listening archives of past shows at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And Elizabeth, we move to you.
I think you have something more there. Do you have 6C, something like that?
Let's see, 6C. I have 5. Yes, I also have 6C.
I think go to that next.
All right. This is from naturalnews.com, and it was dated December 1st, 2023, by Zoe Skye. The UK government data reveals young people are dying of cancer at, quote, explosive, unquote, rates, following COVID years and vaccine push. Government data from the United Kingdom has revealed that teenagers and young people in their 20s to 40s are dying from rapidly metastasizing and terminal cancers at explosive rates since the Wuhan coronavirus began. The 45-page analysis was conducted by COVID-19 researcher and former Wall Street hedge fund manager Edward Dowd, whose report became a cause for concern among many oncologists, who cited it as a, quote, sharp reversal of decades of mortality data, unquote, that showed a decrease in the number of people succumbing to cancer. Dowd based his analysis on a readily available government statistics from the UK's Office of National Statistics. To get the data for the report, Dowd and his research partners, who include a handful of high-level scientists, data analysts, and financial experts, studied all international classification of diseases, and that's a title, by the way, Classification of Diseases 10th Revision, ICD-10, codes for cause of death in the UK from 2010 to 2022. Dowd and the research team looked into trends in malignant neoplasms, and the codes for those was C00 to C99. ICD-10 codes are the International Physician's Classification of Diagnosis, Symptom, and Procedure for Claim Processing set by the World Health Organization, WHO.
And we have to interrupt to say that these are not good things. These are on the way to the mark of the beast.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
So true, yeah. And the researchers observed a noticeable pattern. Even though almost all deaths among older people in 2021 and 2022 in Wales and England had been coded, 8% of deaths among 15 to 44-year-olds in 2021 and 30% of deaths in that age group in 2022 hadn't been coded yet.
Dowd explained that when someone dies in a hospital, they, quote, leave a trail of life and death with indications of what led to the death. And if a young person dies at the wheel of a car or in their sleep, an investigation is conducted, and it takes some time to assign the cause of death. He added that the missing codes are, quote, indicative of the problem of excess deaths among young people. However, even with the caveat of missing codes, the remaining 92% of coded deaths in 2021 and 70% of coded deaths in 2022 suggested, quote, a strong signal of cancer deaths in the young, end of quote. Dowd said the researchers observed a significant increase in mortality because of malignant neoplasms that started in 2021 and accelerated substantially in 2022. He wrote that the increase in, quote, excess deaths in 2022 is highly statistically significant, extreme event. Cancer death rates increased significantly after COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Dowd produced the report in his Humanity Project study of excess deaths in the UK and the US using government and insurance industry data. The growing body of clinical evidence connecting burgeoning cancers in young people to the COVID-19 vaccines inspired Dowd to conduct the research. Their research focused on younger individuals aged 15 to 44, because it is currently a topic of particular interest because of the rise in anecdotal evidence of many unexplained aggressive and unusual cancers, such as turbo cancers, occurring in the population, especially in younger individuals. And we think, Lou, that that's cancers that arise very quickly and metastasize quickly.
Yeah.
Dowd explained that the aim of the study was not to examine individual claims and anecdotes, but to provide a statistical analysis at a population level and clarify if the anecdotal evidence is abnormal or not. Dowd hopes that the potential connections identified in their study can be used as a basis for a reality check for health professionals to understand underlying trends in individuals' health. For the study, Dowd and the researchers compared excess death rates and the difference between observed deaths and the baseline for expected deaths before and after the coronavirus pandemic. Dowd established a baseline of normal cancer death rates from 2010 to 2020 that remained consistent with few deviations, at least until the cancer death rates increased significantly in late 2021 in the UK after the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Dowd highlighted that the research was one of the first to try and identify some patterns that are observed in trends, end of quote, in cancer post-2020. Related, turbo cancer, children are dying within hours or days of leukemia diagnosis, often after receiving vaccine jabs. So that's a very interesting thing. Perhaps that doesn't apply to the celebrity death of Ryan O'Neill. I believe that he fought leukemia for a long time. And that was kind of ironic. Those of you who are old enough to remember the movie Love Story back in the 60s or 70s, the star with him, Ally McGraw, was dying of leukemia. So that's a kind of an ironic thing that that happens to him. And so now we are very happy to still be on the air, and we need your prayers for Lou's health. We have been under a severe attack, constant turmoil on all of this, and if you would like to help us, we're in good shape with Global Star Communications, but if you would like to help us, you can write out a check or a money order to WWCR, and you can send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we ask you to pray for Mike. There are two Mikes. Mike, who has a terrible spinal problem, please pray. He's noticed some improvement where he can walk better. The other Mike has had a job and in which he was taking care of a 91-year-old woman with Alzheimer's and has to move now and where he can't hear the shortwave. So please pray for that Mike that perhaps he will be able to get some of the information in another way. And so we also give thanks that the Pennsylvania doctor was doing better the last time we heard, and so was Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We haven't heard directly from Dennis Cuddy in a while, but we heard that he was improving. So we're very happy about that, and we will probably have our, you know, our inspirational Christmas program right after Christmas, I think, probably, you know, around the 27th, something like that, I think. We have a time there that we're on air, but we didn't think we could do the program today, did we? We were coughing so much.
Yeah, both of us have developed a little cough, as I'm sure all of you in the audience noticed.
But
we're sticking in there.
Yes, and God is good. He's helping us, and we give thanks for all of you. Your wonderful notes of encouragement to us and your contributions have meant so very much. So we probably will be back again with a new program tomorrow night. Unless our colds get worse, then we will repeat this one. So we're not entirely sure yet, but we probably will be back again tomorrow night. And, of course, that is our regular Thursday evening program that you can hear at WWCR.com. And you can also hear it on the shortwave, 4.840 megahertz. And, of course, we're still on Saturdays there at 7.490, 8 a.m. in the morning, and that is Eastern time. So we ask all of you to keep each other in prayer and to keep our country in prayer for repentance. That's what we really must have. We need to have repentance, and we need to get the truth out more and more. So perhaps you will tell someone to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Lou, you recently closed our program one night by talking about the difference of accepting Jesus Christ because you have a more abundant life. And, you know, you've been under a great attack. You've been back to the ER room, I think, twice this week, and then back to another doctor. But you've kept your cool, and you're trusting in the Lord. Isn't that right?
That's right. And I'll inform our listeners it's not life-threatening. But
no.
We still covet your prayers. And would appreciate any kind of prayer that you can send our way for either
yes.
one of us.
Yes. So we're attacked in many ways, and our book is getting closer. They have now gotten our information for on the back cover of the book. So we'll keep you posted on that, listeners. And may your week be blessed by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night.